Hello, and welcome to episode 140 of Checkpoint Chat. As always, my name is Alessandro Barbosa, and I'm joined by Matt Figuera.
We're getting closer and closer to that magical 150.
Yep.
A century and a half. Remember back in the day when you started the podcast, every episode was a joke about the age.
God, then we hit, could you imagine now?
Then we hit the 100 mark, we're like, we out.
Listen, this podcast is older than Prince Philip.
A rip, shame.
Poor one out.
My God, look, it's very sad, obviously, but there are some memes coming out. I'm like, it's so cruel to laugh, but
it's just like the Suez Canal crisis, you know? Real sad for whoever caused that
shit. For the world economy.
Yeah, bad for the world economy. But man,
the memes that came out of it.
The memes.
Yeah. But I feel bad that it's like, he was so close to 100, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I feel bad about. I don't feel much pity for royal family. But yeah, I mean, he was so close to 100. To be so close, it's like, you know.
You're like, yeah, it's like
it's when you get so close to that ace in CSGO, but then that final kill is stolen
and then
by,
it's snatched by someone else.
You know, Cello comes in and steals that final kill.
Swoops in, steals a glory. It happens, man.
And then he laughs about it because he knows what he did.
Just how we
this is why he gets. This is why you named your Palamute after you, because he's just there stealing your kills.
As a Palamute, he's level like 20-something now. He's doing a good job.
Is he actually contributing to the
good,
fight?
He's a good dogger, yeah.
But when you play multiplayer, because you have to choose either your Palamute or your Palico in multiplayer, who do you choose?
The Palamute for mobility, but the friends I've been playing with, they're rolling with the Palicos because they've got some real good support abilities. I'm like,
That's always
the
conundrum.
This game. Yeah, I'm playing this game wrong. It's like I get to battle before them, which like it's literally a 10-15 second advantage, whatever.
Then you're there, you're like, guys, I'm waiting for you, I can't take this guy alone.
But then their Palamutes keep whooping out these Palicos. Now I'm confused between
the cats.
What's the cat? The cat.
Cat is Palico.
The Palicos start whooping out these support abilities where it's like, wow, this Palico legit just Y-bugged this monster to the ground. That's quite handy. You know, I should properly swap out for something like that.
I've just realized you're wearing an Xbox hoodie.
I am.
Where'd that come from?
This is from a campaign we did last year.
Very cool.
My God. So we did a campaign last year called the Hall of Fame, which we started working on more or less when lockdown started, so like in March. And the campaign only went live just before the launch of the Series X, like the end of September. So it was a many, many months of working on this damn campaign and grinding out the little details. And what we actually did is we printed out these hoodies, we made these and designed them, and then we sent them out to winners around the globe.
Oh,
and there was
cool.
some left over. So I went to the office this week and I got one.
Nice.
So super chuffed.
Worked all those hours and all you got was a hoodie.
It was a free hoodie. And you know what?
A salary, you know.
And a salary. At least Mlesh can't give me shit because it's still technically a gaming.
New. I thought you had somehow scored one of those. Have you seen the Xbox onesies? Those things are really cool.
Oh, no.
I would fucking love one of those. They even have a pocket for your controller. It's ridiculous. I love it.
All those times you go out, you know, you just want to game.
Yeah, of course. Amazing. You know, you just want to, you have to have your Xbox controller at the ready all the time for elite gaming skills.
Spontaneous gaming. Yeah, what if somebody... You walking in public, okay? This is a post-COVID era. You're walking out in public, carefree, and some stranger throws down and says, yo, 1v1 me in Halo.
He whips out a TV and an Xbox from his pants. You're like, I'm ready.
And he thinks he's going to catch you off guard.
Yeah, okay, no. But you pull out your custom Xbox controller and he's like, shit.
You're like, okay. You open up the pouch.
The pouch, like a kangaroo pouch. It just comes from like your stomach. You just open it up, pull out like almost like the what's that bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Krang, who's got like the fucking brain in his stomach
brain,
instead of a brain. It's an Xbox
amazing
controller. You're just like, I'm ready.
I love it. That's great.
Did they ever I can't recall if they ever made that bad guy in the, you know, the live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle films? Because like, I would love to see a live action rendition of a character that ridiculous, like this alien brain in Android.
So I remember watching the, I mean, there's been a lot of those movies, but I think, were there two?
The live action, I think there were two, yeah. The second one had Bebop and Rocksteady, the rhino and the pig mutation.
Okay. Yeah. No, so I only watched the first one. I didn't watch the second one.
Yeah, I can't. You see, so I don't know if I've watched the second one. I think I watched a lot of trailers for the second one. But I don't ever basically remember seen the movie. Krang.
Yeah, you watched the movie. It's true. Was Shredder in the movies? I don't actually remember.
He was in the first one. Yeah.
He was in the first one. Okay.
And he was fucking dope.
That's a good franchise. Imagine pitching that.
Very good franchise.
80s or 90s. We have four turtles, but they're ninjas.
There's a...
Wait for it. Their sensei is a rat. Whoa!
There's actually an episode of... have you seen that Netflix show, The Toys That Made Us?
I've only seen one episode, but so do they have a whole
about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's wild.
Like, oh my God.
The one creator like sold off really early in its life and is now like really sour about how many royalties he gave up.
Yeah, because the franchise
it blew up.
It keeps going, yeah.
Yeah, and it's even still all these big decades today.
Later.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, they even had a crossover with Batman.
Oh, yeah, they did. I mean, that's like the dude who wrote The Witcher as well. It's like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool CD Projekt. You can have the rights to this.
Super unhappy this about it all. Yeah.
And then, holy shit, look at The Witcher today.
He is involved as far as... Oh,
in the Netflix the series. Show.
Yeah, he's at least getting cash dollar from that.
But still, it's amazing.
Which I assume you'd have to, because, I mean, the games are pseudo, like... unofficial sequels to the books.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because they're like, they live separately to the books, but they're based on the books, like in the same universe. Yeah. So
I mean, feature the same characters, but yeah.
Yeah, and they actually, there are a lot of tie-ins to the book as well, or the books as well. So,
But that's why,
it's a weird.
I think someone who just played the games and is watching the show, they're like, wait, why is Ciri so young? It's like, because the games take place so long after the books.
Fam. Like, yeah, where you been?
Yeah, it's well, interesting.
On that, they wrapped up filming on season two recently, I saw. They did. So
very excited.
Quite keen for that to come out.
I wonder if that will be ready by the end of the year. Yeah, I don't know.
I think by the end of the year. I mean, we're still in April.
I'm sure they're aiming for that. Like, I think it would be, because by the end of the year we'll be... what, 2 years since the first season?
I think the first season came out in like December 2019. So if it comes out December 2021, that would...
Delayed by COVID. Like,
yeah,
everyone
for sure.
Knows that. So, but I think they would try aim for that. That's fucking crazy to think that it's nearly 2 years since that first season came out.
Can I tell you, last year was like a blur. It just doesn't exist.
It's...
Even this year, just remember, we're in April. Next thing you know, it's May and we're in the middle of winter. And then you blink and Father Christmas is visiting with all these good gifts.
It's going to be May.
And then
May.
It's summer again. Oh my God. I hate you.
Love it. Love it. Hey, it's my birthday soon. It's your birthday soon. It's a great time. And then the year can end. Then it's okay.
Your birthday is the 23rd.
Of this month, like 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday.
Oh, you're getting so old, which makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's the last year in the 20s. I feel so lazy all the time. Yeah, I have to think about getting a new couch because it's hurting my coccyx. You know, it's old things.
You're so old.
I'm so old. Oh my God. I'm just eating oatmeal for every meal.
Need to get a new couch because my coccyx... That's all I heard.
Needs to be apostrophedic couch to protect my back.
My back. Good Lord. And Shani's like,
it's like
old man.
Yeah, exactly. She's just like old man. But let's check on chat. We talk about video games. Speaking of old.
Sometimes.
Yeah, speaking of old, before we get to any of the new modern stuff that we've been playing,
let's talk about
this game from 1996 called Resident Evil. Yo, what a game. Well, I guess the remake I'm playing is not from 1996.
So it's quite weird. Okay, so give me 1 second to give some context.
I'll give you more than 1 second.
Watchers. Okay, so the Resident Evil comes out in 96, okay, and it's like... It's this game that's super scary and wow, it's survival, like almost the birth of survival horror, or the like mainstream survival horror. And then I think it was not even 6 years later, in 2002, it gets a full-on ground-up remake. Okay, so think about people like me who've played Final Fantasy VII in 97. You had to wait, like, what is it, a good 23 years? My God, is my maths right? No, wait, I lie.
97.
So it's like 20 years.
Yeah,
like, you have to wait a good 20 years or so. Wait, our maths is so wrong.
When did you play it?
Yeah, 97. Okay, whatever. Call it 20 years for a ground-up remake. I don't know the maths. The numbers aren't working today. Okay, but imagine back then you love Resident Evil. Not even 6 years later, you get this gorgeous remake. And so you'll talk about it shortly, but you're playing the HD remaster, right? Which, for all intents and purposes, just upscales the resolution to 1080. But just remember, that game came out in 2002, and it still holds up. Like, some of those environments are...
Still look so good.
They
look
so well. They like not necessarily lifelike, but they look real, real polished.
The character models are
shiny
good.
And, yeah. And, yeah, it's... I've played both. So, I mean, I played the original back in the day, and I played the remake, I'd say, like, 5 years ago when the actual HD remaster came out. And it's like, it's kind of like what remake... 2 and 3 did in the last 2-3 years, where it's like the same game, you know, but they've, you know, changed a bit. But I think Resident Evil 1 remake resembles the original a whole lot more because it is still a fixed camera affair.
Yeah.
But it still changes a lot. Like, there's a lot in that game that you did not find in the original, and a whole lot of mechanics and just twists and changes.
Yeah, it's like a remix. Like you said, like 2 and 3, they take familiar elements, but they use them in different ways.
Yeah.
I know, like, I was chatting to you before recording about how I died to a baldy yesterday, and you're like, oh, that's in remake. That's not in the original.
I don't recall that being in the original. And like we said before, this is before Chris was buff. You know,
yeah,
capable of punching boulders.
This is before he bought protein and hit the gym. Like, he's a scrawny dude.
This is a time before protein and gyms. Okay.
This is why Wesker beat him in the first game, because he just wasn't ready. Yeah, Resident Evil 1, it's good.
You never played the original, right?
No, I've never played it. I never owned a PlayStation 1, so I probably played it like in bits and pieces when visiting a friend. I remember being young and playing a Resident Evil, playing being the operative word, because back then I didn't even understand how to play these games. You would like shoot and die and be like, well, fuck, you know, and not actually.
Why
know what
can't
you
I move
playing.
And shoot?
Exactly.
There's a zombie walking towards me, like, come on.
Exactly. And then you'd freak out with zombies every now and then. And yeah, listen, the game's still scary. I think the game does a really good job of maintaining a good atmosphere. It's like eerie, and the lack of sound in places is really off, like, it's unsettling. Well,
they also really dialed it up with the fact that it's a fixed camera perspective. They like really lean into that with some of the angles they give you, where it's like, it almost feels archaic, where it's like, I can't see around the corner, but it's like, no,
it's
they don't
purposeful.
Want you to see around the corner.
It's like, you can hear something and you're like,
oh, no.
I don't know where it's coming from. Like, is it in the room ahead of me? Is it the one next to me? Is it behind me? There is one camera angle that I consistently laugh at, because you walk through a door, and depending on, you know, which way you're coming through the door, the camera is just right in front of you. All you see is Jill's face, and she's like, and you're like, wait, is this a cutscene? And you wait a bit, you're like, oh no, it's gameplay. Okay, cool.
This is my actual face, right?
It makes me laugh so much.
That's great.
But yeah, like you said, the fixed camera angles are there for a reason. And I think the remake, or maybe just the HD remaster, the one thing I appreciate is the updated controls. So it's still tank controls in a way, but I can control the full range of movement using the left analog stick. I don't have to turn, go forward.
Yeah.
Also, I can put on auto run, which is super helpful. And I can't actually imagine playing the game without that, because there are some puzzles that are so time specific. I'm like, how the fuck would you have done this with the old control scheme? Like, it's annoying as is with an updated control scheme. Like I did this room yesterday where I had to, the walls are closing in and I had to push a statue in place before the walls close in. And I like just got it and I had to retry it a few times. And I'm just like, how would you do this with the shitty control? Anyway.
Some would say it's the Dark Souls of...
My goodness. It's really
survival horror games.
And then on top of that, like, I thought, okay, well, because you don't have range of motion for aiming, you can only aim like forward, up or down, that it would be kind of lenient with like the lock-on for aiming.
No.
Especially with that grenade launcher. If that thing is not dead fucking center in front of you, you just miss. And it's like, great, that's cool. Like when a hunter comes at you and he's jumping
and
around.
Yeah, you.
And you're just like, how am I meant to hit this thing? So, you know, it's those old things, but I feel like none of it is preventing me from enjoying this game because, man, it from a design perspective, it's so cool. Like, this would have blown my mind in 1996.
It pleases me to hear that because, I mean, the game is old. Even if it's like the remake, it's 2002. That's, you know, 19 years ago now. And the fact that you're playing it as a newcomer and you're enjoying it, I think speaks volumes for the fact that, like, despite the, you know, it is tank controllers and static camera angles, whatever. But like the game, that's what it is. And it's really good at what it does.
I mean, the Resident Evil formula hasn't changed. It's
no,
like that formula
what blows
is
my mind
there.
Actually is that you, because you, I mean, like what's the first Resident Evil you played? Like probably 4 or 5?
Yeah, four I played. 5 was the first one I think I like properly finished.
But then... Think like modern times, you probably like 7 is probably the, you know, the more, the I suppose a more mainstream one that you played recently, whatever, where that follows the, like that original formula of like, here's a rusty shotgun. You need to go take it to that wall and, the wall's got a rust, the wall's got a proper shotgun. You need to, you know, replace it with a rusty shotgun or something.
I still don't know what to use my broken shotgun for. I've had it forever.
I can't remember in the original, but like you now see that, that was actually in the first game, like way back then. Even a lot of the puzzles are like, there's so many, like the DNA is just consistent throughout. Like the fact that you always get a crank, for example.
Yeah.
Or always a wrench. Like every damn game
Resident
is always
Resident
that.
Evil 1 has 2 cranks.
Two. One and a square and a hexagon one, right? Yeah.
Damn.
And I mean that's in 2 and 3 as well. I think in Remake 2 and 3 they
Remake
also had
2
them.
Has 1 crank, I think. You see, but, I played Remake 2 before I played 7. So I was like introduced to that
okay,
formula.
Okay.
Of
I thought
like,
you played
okay,
7 first.
There's a diamond door. There's a heart door. Yeah. This is this door. In 1, there's like helmet, armor, sword. In 7, it's like
snake,
disembodied bird and snake. They go real fucking dark in 7 with that.
Yeah. But like it's things like that where... So like I have a colleague who also... He played Resident Evil 2 Remake and that is his first time playing, you know, anything in the franchise. And like he had to look up some stuff and I'm like, I completely understand why. Like the game was a lot more accessible to me because I grew up playing them. I know that if I get a red gem, for example, that I probably have to put it somewhere else, which will give me something else to solve the puzzle. Where it's like, if you don't know that, it's a bit like,
if I didn't play 2, I wouldn't have understood a lot of the puzzles in 1 because it's like,
I can
get a box. And I know, okay, I need to examine it because there's probably something I need to do with this. And then it's like, there's a button here or there's like a slot here. It's like, okay, I need to do some, you know, there's a language to Resident Evil that.
Exactly.
I think I can imagine people in 96 going like, what the fuck do I need to do here? Or maybe not, because a lot of games were kind of weird like that then,
yeah.
You know?
Well, games were a lot more obscure back then.
Yeah, like a lot of the times I feel like I'm playing a really pretty version of like Zork, because it's like, examine this thing, what do you want to do? Or like a lot of the puzzles, it's like, there's a lever here, what do you want to do? You know? Yeah. So it follows that formula. And when you think of old games at the time, then you think of like Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past. They had strange as shit puzzles as well there. Like in Ocarina of Time, you have to shoot an arrow into the sun to get a specific arrow that you need to progress. Like, how would you know that? Like, so...
I don't know.
I had this thing yesterday where I kind of... It clicked in my head where I understood why people say games today are too... Maybe not too, but like they handhold you a bit too much.
They a lot more, yeah.
And I'm, you know, I understand why people miss not having that, because the sense of discovery that I have playing Resident Evil 1 is just so fun. It's, you know, the game is so overwhelming at first because you're in this mansion and it's just, you can go in so many different directions. And for the first 3 hours, I'm like, am I going the right way? Am I doing this correctly? You know, and you even get into situations where it's like the handle on the door is about to break and now you can only enter it through one way. So it's like, well, fuck, was I meant to do that? You know, you can really do things in like a sequence that is really detrimental to your playthrough, but it's your playthrough. That's how.
And it's that intentionally.
Yeah. It's like how you have to deal with that. There was a moment yesterday I was in the residence. And there's a map on the wall. And if you take the map, you expose a hole that bees can come at you and like sting you and poison you. But if you do that later on, when you have an item to kill the bees, then you can omit that entire danger entirely. Mm. But if you decide to take the map early, then that entire area becomes a bit hostile for like a long time.
Yeah.
So it's like little like micro decisions that the game lets you make that are, I think they're so cool. I think it's a really, really great experience. And like you said, Resident Evil 7, like if you played that, the DNA is identical.
And Resident Evil 8 is going to have the same same stuff. I'm really glad you played Remake 1 now, because a lot of games always harken back to that original mansion. You know, there's always some sort of like nod to like, here's a giant mansion, you know, spooky, whatever. And Resident Evil 8, although it's set in, you know, a village, whatever, the demo is in this big mansion. You're like,
Lady Dimi, what? Dimitrescu?
I don't know. Tall lady.
Her castle. They actually, I don't think I put it in news, but they revealed the map of the game yesterday. And her castle is just one of four main locales. So you're going to be moving around.
That's next month, right?
Yeah, 7th of May.
It's so soon. Oh my gosh, soon. That's not even a month away. That's exciting.
And there's an event happening this week on the 15th.
Yeah.
Which I assume they're going to release the next demo.
The second demo.
Yeah, they said they're going to put out another demo. I'm fucking stoked for that game. I can't wait. After playing 7 over December and now playing Remake 1, I'm like, I'm all in.
Basically like caught up. I know you've missed some of the originals, but you've played the remakes. You've sort of caught up with all the mainline.
I've played all the mainline ones now.
You just have to play 6 now.
I've played 6. I just don't like it at all. Like at all.
We should, you know what? You should, 6 is not a good Resident Evil game. However, if you're going expecting a fun action game, it's a good time. We should co-op that, because it's as an action, as far as action games go,
can you co-op the whole story
time. I'm pretty sure you can. I mean, because Resident Evil 5 you could, and 6 has, through every campaign there's always two people.
That's how I played 5, and I think that's why I like it more, because like people seem to not like 5, and I'm just like, I think
those people played it alone.
Yeah.
I really think they played it alone.
That game in co-op is fucking awesome. Like, it's got problems.
Many
but it's
times
awesome.
With different people. And you've met my friend Quentin. I have such fond memories of going to his place, and we would just stay up late playing Resident Evil 5. And we did it
so
over
good.
Like weeks, where we finished the game, then we like started it again because we're like, damn, this game's good.
That game is also like a proper action game. Like,
100%.
There's so much happening in that game.
it's like a departure from Resident Evil, but it's like it wasn't as far departure as Resident Evil 6.
Mm. Yeah, no, six is an action movie.
Six like, is like straight full up. On what the hell.
And also just like the most fucking ridiculous plot points. I absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it's quite something.
But yeah, Remake 1 is super good. I highly recommend playing it if you haven't before, because I just think it's great. It nails the tension that I think even 7 doesn't get right. I think 7 gets it right in its opening few hours and then loses it. And then it
derails.
Yeah. Like I am super far into Resident Evil 1 and I'm stressing about my ammo all the time. I'm stressing. Mm. Fuck. I'm stressing about how many times I can save. it's ridiculous. It's like, and also like you can never expand your inventory space. So I'm limited to 8, or I'm doing this juggling act like crazy.
If I'm not mistaken, so you're playing with Jill, right? And I was telling you that I think she's the best person to start with, because although she's squishier, she gets access to more areas easily because she's got the lockpick.
Does Chris not get the lockpick?
Nope, Chris doesn't have a lockpick. So Jill, what? Like she's softer and she dies easier, but she gets like the payoff is that she gets, I think, more resources and more weapons.
Yeah, the lockpick comes so in handy at the beginning. And, my God.
And if I'm not mistaken, she has a bigger inventory than Chris. Whereas Chris is a harder playthrough because although he's tankier, like you can get hit a lot more. He's got limited inventory space, doesn't have a lockpick. He's got few resources. Is
it it's limited already. It's so limited.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's like a thing.
Fuck. That's crazy. No. I mean, I'm just thankful. I don't know if maybe this is the thing they changed for Remake, but I can load so many shells into the grenade launcher.
Yeah, that's normal. And you always have like infinite shells.
It's basically so useful because I don't need to carry stacks of 6 everywhere. And I only discovered this yesterday.
Oh, no.
Because I tried to reload the grenade launcher and it's like, nothing's happening. So then I combined it in the inventory and it's like, oh, you've just got fucking 18 shells in this gun now. It's like, oh, okay, well, cool. I'm just going to roll with this time. Now. Yeah.
Before we move on to what you've been playing next, tell me, how hard did you panic the first time a zombie just got up after you thought it was dead?
I still panic. I still...
Because let me tell you, that is new to Remake where...
What? Seriously?
So in the original one, where if you downed a zombie, you would, I think you would always see the corpse, but like it was done for. Whereas in Remake, you leave those corpses long enough.
Yeah.
They come
if
back
you don't,
to life.
If you don't burn
eventually.
Them.
Eventually. And they come back stronger than before. Which is just like.
That's the thing that fucking gets me is like you walk into a room where a normal zombie was, and next thing it's one of those red ones that just charges you.
Terrifying.
And they're so fast. Like if they hit you and you get them back with a defensive item, like by the time you aiming your gun, they're at you again.
Yes, yeah. That is 100% new to Remake. And I think
that adds a lot of tension into that game.
Yeah, I think that is done intentionally to be like, oh, you're a veteran of this game. Surprise.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, you can burn the bodies, but there's limited kerosene everywhere. So you can't burn all the bodies.
And that takes inventory space as well.
And fucking hell.
So
I shut myself yesterday because I opened the one door in the residency and the camera angle was aiming towards me as Jill and above me was a giant spider. So that was great. and then the spider just crawled down from the ceiling over Jill and then like stopped. And I was like, I don't want to play this game anymore. I just want to
just peace out.
Yeah, the little sound they make, like when they're on the wall and you can't see them, they're like, chick, 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 and you're just like, no.
You're like, it's a fiesta.
No. I just pulled out my Magnum and I fucking annihilated this thing.
Yeah, so if you haven't played Remake 1, I would recommend.
I mean, yesterday I killed spiders, zombie sharks, and got killed by a boulder. So is this still
if
a zombie game? And I killed a big sentient plant.
Exactly. So if this doesn't sell you the game, then we don't know.
Nothing will. What will. Nothing will. It's not a zombie game. It's a Jill versus the world game.
Mm-hmm. Or Chris, depending on who you take first.
Also, your camera angle just shifted. That was weird.
I don't know. I don't know why it does that. Every now and then, the software just like...
It's just like, whoop.
Whoop. Yeah. The settings just change.
I was playing around with that NVIDIA broadcast stuff. And there's a setting on there where you can get the software to like face track you. So what it does is it like zooms in your camera so there's space to move. And if you move your face,
it's
ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
I should do that.
I love it because it's like ever so slightly delayed. So you can really fuck with it. Like you can move your head really quickly and the camera just is like, whoa, where are you? Whoa. It's so fun. It's
amazing.
It's so nonsense, but I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. What else you been playing?
So in terms of modern games, now that we've spoken about Resident Evil 1 for like 20 minutes. Nice. Last weekend I played a lot of Outriders. New looter shooter from People Can Fly. The developers of
Dudes of Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm and Gears of War Judgment, which not bad.
But Bulletstorm also, I'd say, Bulletstorm, good really game. Underrated.
Yeah. Bulletstorm had really fun gameplay. It was just such a juvenile like story. It was unbelievably juvenile.
The writing in that game was like,
we have to get the word ass in every third word.
I acknowledge it, like, very juvenile, but, like, I appreciated that they just lent into it.
100%. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, they lent into that dude, bro. Like, there is a line in that game where it's like, I will kill your dick. And you're like, okay.
Are we in a playground?
Yeah. what is going on here? Bulletstorm is
those dudes
good.
Made
that studio. Game. Apparently they're in Poland, if I'm not mistaken. Another Polish studio.
Just on that. It's a Square Enix game, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So are people, is it published by Square Enix or?
They're independent.
They're not owned by Square Enix.
No, because Bulletstorm was published by EA.
Yes, okay, yeah, that's why I was a bit like, hang on,
Gears Judgment
purchased
was Microsoft,
at some point.
They, as far as I can tell, they're independent.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is that game that looks like Destiny, but that the marketing was very adamant was not a live service Destiny game. However, you still need to be online even if you're just playing single player, which led to a lot of frustration last week when I was trying to just fucking continue my story and it's like, nah fam, you can't connect. Or I'm in the middle of a boss fight and the server drops and I get kicked out. That fucking sucks. Like, if you're going to market your game as not live service, you can't do that. Like, when I'm playing Destiny, I get it because all of it is pinging a server, all my loot is on a server, all of the... Hell, Avengers doesn't need this. Avengers is a live service game, but I can play the story offline. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So aside from that, it's a third-person shooter.
just get that out the way.
Yeah, I just needed to get that out of my system. It's a third-person shooter. And at the beginning, you're like, oh, this is like Gears of War because there's like, you know, the waist height cover and... You're doing the sticky cover thing and you're peeping out and shooting enemies. You're like, okay, cool. This is... And then you realize that... I think it was Jeff Gertzman on the Bombcast that he said that the cover is not there for you. It's there for your enemies. And that was like, oh, I get it now.
Okay.
Because about an hour into the game, I was like, I am not using cover at all. I don't understand why this is a cover shooter. And yes, it's for the enemies. Because... while it is a shooter, third-person shooter, you choose from four classes that give you like really ridiculous abilities. What are the four classes? Pyromancer, Devastator, Trickster, and I don't know the fourth one. I chose Trickster because it was like, this is a playstyle if you want to get right up in the face of enemies and like, hop around the battlefield. I was like, okay, if I'm playing solo, that sounds like a really sustainable thing. And it's really cool. Like, I could teleport behind enemies from like far away. I could create like a little faceless void bubble shield where I could slow down enemies inside them.
Oh my.
So yeah, I was like zipping around the battlefield with a shotgun, getting in someone's face, blasting them away, you know, using a bubble to like create space, stuff like that. And based on the class that you pick, you get health back if you play according to that class. So the Trickster is all about close range fire. So I get health back when I'm taking out enemies from close range. So I can use a sniper and I don't get any like RPG penalties from using a sniper.
Yeah.
But I will not gain health back when I kill enemies with a sniper. Whereas... even if I'm using a sniper from close range, if I like point blank this dude, then I'll get health back.
Then you get the health
back. Yeah, so okay. It's not tied to weapons or anything like that, which I think is quite clever because it doesn't mean I'm restricted to just using shotguns or submachine guns, but it encourages me to stick with the class that
to
I
stick
chose.
With them, yeah.
I do wish that I could have trialed some of the classes before I got to choose. Like, it kind of just comes out of nowhere. It's like, hey, pick this class. And you like have no idea what any of them do.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. Like, it gives you text to kind of explain, but that's never the same as like giving them a go. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's got a good, I think it's got a good loop of, you know, kill people, get better loot, upgrade your abilities, and you can have three abilities active at once. So you've got like a range of abilities that you choose into a loadout. And then you get mods on guns that play into those abilities as well. So you can like really craft your character according to the playstyle that you're enjoying. The other thing that I like is, aside from character level, they have this thing called world tier. So that levels up periodically as well. And that determines how hard the game is. So the higher your world tier, the better loot you get, but the harder the game will be. And that's that is dynamic. So you can change that at any point. So if I'm like having a bad time, I can drop a world tier, game will be easier, I'll get less loot, but it will allow me to progress, which I think is pretty, it's a cool thing. I think the scaling is a bit weird because it can really feel like I'm nowhere near prepared for an encounter and I can drop the world tier by one and then I'm destroying them. And in the same way, I can feel super unprepared for an encounter, get one weapon drop, and then I'm blasting through enemies. So it feels very on both extremes and nowhere in the middle. But it's, you know, it's got fun gameplay. I just, like, the world hasn't sucked me in and the loot hasn't really sucked me in. So after a few hours, I was like, I'm enjoying the, you know, moment-to-moment firefights, but I'm not really, like, hooked on this thing. It's not, you know, it's a game that obviously will require a lot of hours and wants you to be there for the long haul to, you know, replay encounters to get better loot and stuff, and it just hasn't hooked me in that way. I don't think it's a bad game. I think it's a perfectly fine and at times really fun game. It's just not one that I feel like I'm going to invest, you know, tons
all
of
your
hours
time
into.
And
like other people are, I've heard that the game when you're playing with other people is also far more enjoyable, so maybe that's the thing that I need to give a go because I've only played it solo. But yeah, it's like, I think if you're looking for a pretty mindless fun shooter with like really fun powers that you can fuck around with, like Outriders is there. It's a lot better than I thought it would be, but it's also not like, it's not something that has grabbed my attention. Entirely. Not in the same way that like Monster Hunter did or stuff like that. Like a lot of the time I'm playing Outriders, I'm like, I really want to just play Resident Evil Monster Hunter right now. Like, I was never like, yeah, fuck yeah, Outriders, I want to get back home and play that. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's on Game Pass, which I think is probably the best way to like play it because it's like there. It's only on Xbox though, on Game Pass, not on PC, but I think as a Game Pass game you'd be very happy with that. I think if you paid full price for that, I would be a lot more critical of it. So
yeah,
that's the beauty of Game Pass. I mean, and I think it was very smart of them.
It's magical.
Yeah
I mean, that's like, it's interesting because that is a 100% a third party game that's just day one on Game Pass for no reason. It's just like, by the way,
I wonder who went did Square Enix go to Microsoft and say this would probably work better on your service, or did Microsoft go, we need this on our service? Because I don't know. I think it being day one on Game Pass is a huge get for Game Pass, but I also think
it's massive.
Outriders fucking hugely benefited from that deal as well. So,
oh yeah, 100%. I think any game that gets the limelight on Game Pass, like I don't know if Microsoft or any developers ever divulged how the finances work. Like, do Microsoft pay the studio for every download they get, or do they?
I've heard it is that. I mean, I think a lot of it is under NDA, but I've heard it's per download you get paid.
Yeah. Or like, is it a...
It's the same with PS Plus, like, yeah.
We'll give you $5 million to have Outriders on Game Pass for...
I think there is like an upfront fee. Like, you know what I mean? For like... Yeah. Like, imagine now, like... say GTA 6 comes out tomorrow.
Shit.
And they're like, yeah, it's day one on Game Pass. There is no fucking way that Rockstar is paying Microsoft to do that. That's 100% the other way around. Yeah. So
yeah,
I think that's a huge draw card. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. It depends on the context and the scenario of like who stands to benefit more.
Yeah, like, exactly. And I think that then determines like, is Microsoft paying the fee or is it like a sort of split gain thing? You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type of thing.
Yeah.
So in the case of Outriders, it seems like a bit of both. I think Microsoft benefited and Square Enix benefited. So
yeah, 100%.
Maybe Microsoft definitely paid for that, but maybe not as much as they would have paid for another game.
Yeah, 100%. I think makes sense.
But yeah,
it's on Game Pass, but it is available on PC and PlayStation as well if you are interested in picking
Sadly
up the
enough,
game.
It, it's
not
got
on
a
Switch.
It's well, yes. It's got a proper PS5 version, but it doesn't do anything fun with the controller, as far as I can tell. Like, it's got the rumble and whatever, but none of the adaptive trigger stuff. Which, you know, maybe that's fine, because fuck, if I was playing that game as I was with, like, restrictive triggers, that would have sucked.
It would get annoying.
Would have been cool if it did something, I don't know. It stuck out to me. I was like, oh, this... And then I double checked. I was like, is this a PS5 game or is it PS4? And it's like, no, it's PS5. Okay. So
yeah, I think it's weird. It's going to be interesting to see in the next year or two how many people actually make use of the DualSense.
Because
like Astro's Playroom, like that's the first time anyone who has a PS5, you know, well, I suppose that's the showcase piece for the DualSense. And you play that, you go, wow, like this controller's got potential. But like,
there hasn't been anything really since
actually
then.
Used like, it since then. Like, do we have to wait for... Like, I was even surprised that Demon's Souls being a PS5 exclusive didn't really lean into it. Yeah, it did like nothing with it.
It did some cool like, things with the sound on the controller.
Yes, yeah. 100%. But like, do we have to wait for the new Horizon or Ratchet and Clank to really, you know, be like, oh, this is this controller's capable.
I really hope Horizon isn't like... I mean, they've spoken about it in the marketing, like, oh, you're going to feel the bowstring. I'm like, I don't want that. I really
My fingers
don't.
Are going to get
yeah,
six packs.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. You see, Astro's used it very delicately in certain areas.
Yeah, yeah, it's like sparingly with each puzzle room or
But like
well,
in,
each
in
level,
Cold
whatever.
War, Call of Duty Cold War, it did the thing of like, you... like can half trigger press and then you click in the trigger to like fire your gun. And like for an hour, that's like, hell yeah, that feels cool. And then eventually you're just like, my fingers are sore.
I'm tired.
Or like, this is like really tiring and not as immersive anymore. You know, so in Spider-Man, it was also like really delicate. Like they would put a little bit of tension as you were swinging.
I think that is actually, that's a good case study or good example of like, it never felt like cheap or overused. It is really like just in swinging, and it made the swinging feel good, because like every time at the end of the swing you'd feel just a little bit of tension,
yeah, just that slight little click. Like if you take it away, you're like, oh, that was actually there, but you wouldn't point to it and be like, okay, I can feel this. It was really subtle and really well done. That's why I have hope for Ratchet and Clank, because I think Insomniac can do a lot of cool things with a lot of the different weapons there. I'm very excited for the game. Also, Returnal's out soon, so I'm sure that will do some.
Oh my god!
I know they said that they're using the adaptive trigger for like alternative fire. So if you half press a trigger, you fire one way, and when you fully press it, then you do an alt fire on a weapon, which is kind of cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm keen for
that's
that.
That's
well.
More function over than, you know, just form. So that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm stoked for that game. Cannot wait for that game.
Yeah.
What have you Outriders. Been playing?
So I've just been playing, shocker, more Monster Hunter, and let me tell you. So like I was saying before we started recording, this game just keeps giving me layers and layers. So
I'm so glad you're into
now,
it. Like,
my god. It's interesting because we spoke about it last weekend, right? And that was, I played a lot of this game because we actually put together a beginner's guide, which if you haven't watched, it's on our YouTube channel. We put a lot of work into it. Would really appreciate some love on that video. But yeah, both being new to Monster Hunter and having to actually create a beginner's guide, it's like, holy shit, we actually have to play the hell out of this game, understand how it works. So I played a lot of Monster Hunter when we got it. And interestingly enough, last weekend was a long weekend. Friday and Monday were public holidays, and I did not touch it. I just did not play it at all until Monday evening when I picked it up again. I was like, yeah, let me do a hunt. And then the bug just bit me again. I was like, oh my God.
The wire bug just bit you again.
It's just too damn addictive. And I was telling you that I've now reached a high tier hunt where you're basically hunting the same monsters on the same levels, but there's a whole different tier of loot. So like if you hunt a baggy, for example, on the normal difficulty, you just get like a baggy heart, for example. On the hard tier hunt, you get baggy heart plus, which is like a whole different resource, which you use to craft even higher quality gear.
That's the hide that's bigger and comes with three cameras, right?
With three, yeah, exactly. So it's like So contextually, it doesn't make any sense because you're hunting the same thing. But in terms of systems, it's like, no, there's a whole different level of loot here. And I think the big difference between the last time I spoke about the game last week and this week is that I've played a lot more multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can do proper high tier hunts single player because I've sort of stopped playing the single player stuff for now. But multiplayer, I've been playing with some friends and even strangers. And it sounds weird to say in 2021 where we have the technology to jump into a lobby and play with strangers or friends, but the fact that it just works on Switch like continues to blow my mind. Like, I mean, and not only that, like I suppose one of the big drawbacks of the Switch is that if you're playing in bed, for example, you're a good few meters away from your Wi-Fi router. And even the dock itself might not be connected
to internet.
I thought
you were going to say you're a few meters away from your wife. And I was like, well,
well that
not
too.
For everyone, you know.
And the Switch itself doesn't connect with Ethernet unless you buy an adapter. So in terms of latency, like you really could have a shit time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I've played in bed a bunch of evenings this week and I've not dropped off once. And I can't tell you I've noticed any delay. So it like really blows my mind. And what's cool is that even like, so when I've streamed, I've played with friends and we chill on Discord, whatever. But like last night, I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go climb into bed. But my friends are playing. I'm going to jump into a lobby with them. And we just use the in-game comms when it's like, it's limited in that you can be like, hey, like, let's capture this or like, good job or whatever. But it works.
Yeah.
And it's minimal effort. And just the fact that you can jump in with friends or strangers to hunt that one piece of gear you do it, you're looking for, whatever. It's just, it's such an addictive loop. And like, I really don't see myself putting this game down for a long time still. Like I feel that I'm still just scratching the surface of, you know, what it has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, like I've been playing with the long sword because, you know, one of the 14 weapons. And
you just
I've
love
sort
that
of like,
anime sheath. So good.
Yeah. So I've been like mainlining this weapon, and then a friend of mine linked me to a video from one of the big Monster Hunter YouTubers saying like, here's a guide for your weapon, like watch it. And it's a 30-minute video. I was like, cool, like I'll see. Because
it was Arkes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is it Eric's or Arkes?
So
I watched a video and then he's like, oh yeah, you've got this move and you've also got this switch ability which does this. And if you push this button after doing this ability, like you'll do a counter attack. I'm like, I did not know I could do any of that stuff.
Yeah, his videos are mad in depth. Yeah,
and it's funny because in Monster Hunter Rise, I don't think this was a thing in Monster Hunter World, you can actually swap out three of your attack/abilities. You have two options for each of the three. And it could be subtle things like one you might get to choose between one of two wire bug attacks.
Mm-hmm.
One of my abilities is literally like the attack you use when you unsheathe will be different.
Oh, you can do that. Okay.
Yeah. So I changed two of my abilities based on like what I saw in his video. And it feels like I have to relearn this weapon almost because it's a completely different play style.
Yeah.
but like in a good way. So the way I was playing, it was very much perfect for me because it was almost like, you know, inverted commas, beginner orientated, because it's very easy to pick up and like just do damage. Whereas this way now it's like, no, you have to build up your meat and then spend it to do an attack that does more damage. So it's like relearning that weapon, and it's just been a lot of fun. Like
it's like you've got to relearn the flow of the weapon. I feel like all of the weapons 100%. Have a flow to them. Yeah,
I thought, I was like, oh cool, I'm just going to change this and then like I know how to play this weapon.
Yeah.
Now it's like, no, this build I'm using now relies a lot more on landing counterattacks to build up your meter and like finishing combos. I'm like, oh. Whereas the previous build was like, pulling off the one wire bug attack would just fill your combo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, it's completely different play styles. So
yeah, that's why I think like weapons initially that seemed very shallow. Like I think the dual blades are a great starter weapon because there's very little thinking involved in pulling off combos with them. But I think it can turn into this like, I think all of the weapons are viable. I think
there's a depth that...
Yeah, there's that no weapon that's just, like, okay, well, you need to transition to the more complicated ones for late game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it works like that, yeah.
And not only that, like the way I'm playing this weapon now, it's like you don't have to use this build. You know, you could play the safer route, but you're just going to do a little bit less damage. Mm. And that's fine. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the fact that there are 14 weapons with three different switch types times two a piece, like there's so much in this game, like it seems overwhelming, but I think if you just hone down on one or two weapons and you really get into the flow, like it's such a good time. Like I keep wanting to just run off and do a hunt because that even that they're so quick, like
yeah,
a hunt
they're real bite-sized,
is like
yeah.
10 to 40 minutes depending on your difficulty, I'd say, and your gear and whatever. Yeah,
I think that's why this game like became as big as it was on the PSP, because it was that like short burst, especially like when you could meet up with friends in like ad hoc mode and take down a monster. Yeah. You know, so I think the Switch comes back to that in a sense, because Monster Hunter World was more open world monster hunting. You know what I mean? It was a console, so it didn't have to think about like portable play. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't touched it this week because of
other stuff.
Yeah, Outriders and obviously Resident Evil, but I'm like itching to get back to it. Like when you said you were going to stream on Thursday and then
My power
SCOM came in clutch with that. I definitely want to get back into it. I watched your stream on Tuesday where you were playing with Ariane and Keegan,
yeah.
And I haven't even done one of those rampage levels yet, so like I
can't. It's like they so when I first played, I was like,
that looks so chaotic.
Yeah, but when I first played, I was like, this is a weird like tower defense mini game. But when I played multiplayer, and you really have to be strategic of like, well, where are we setting up our turrets and what are we putting at the front and the back? And it went. I mean, you watched that we stopped the first wave, then the second wave came and they just destroyed our first defense.
But already comparing that to your previous stream where you did a rampage, like you guys had all learnt different tricks and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's depth to that mode as well, even though it's like a very different type of playstyle to
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very cool.
Monster Hunter. We'll play more. Definitely going to keep streaming that, I think.
Great game.
It's just too much fun.
It's a cool game to watch on stream as well, because it's like, there's good music.
It's just easy viewing.
Firstly, the music's really good. And then it's just like, you just hear weapon sounds. Ching, ching, ching. And
shring.
Music. And ching, ching, ching.
I think it's easy watching.
Like, it is, yeah.
It's not like you're going to miss anything, you know, if you don't watch every
That's why I liked it while I was working, because I could hear the banter. And I was like working, and every now and then I'd look, and it'd just be like this flurry of fucking like purple
energy
going crazy.
You're getting smacked with knowledge from Keegan and Adrian.
Yeah, oh my god, I learned so much.
Way deeper into that game
them.
Than I am. Yeah, they just spit facts. I'm like, oh,
the amount
okay.
of like
Teach
every
me.
5 minutes, you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, cool. And they just even Aaron is like, shit, I didn't know that. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Spitting facts.
Yeah, Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter.
Would recommend.
What a great time again. Wow, my mouse
died.
Oh, wow, it did die.
Awkward.
What is this? I've got to give it some... Oh, no.
Some juice.
It's not even plugged in.
Oh, no. It's fine. We can get to game releases here.
Let's get to game releases. I just got to... There we go. I'll plug this in real quick.
Amazing.
You know, the great thing about wireless peripherals is that you can just plug them in when you need.
That's great. So we are in... Oh, my God. We are getting into... It's a good season again now.
Yeah, we are. Let me just pull up the link on my end so I can see what's happening. So we are looking at game releases from today, April 10th. Can you fucking believe it? All the way up to April 16th. So let me just see that. My side to April 16th. Okay, so we've got like five games here. Demon Skin.
Nice.
That's the prequel to Demon Soul. No, I'm joking. I don't know what Demon Skin is. Let me check.
Demon Skin.
Oops, I wrote Demon Ski. That's a different thing.
Oh my gosh, it's a different game.
Demon Skin. Wow, that brings up some real fucking fan art. Let me tell you about that.
Oh boy.
Brutal hack and slash game with challenging combat system in the same vein as Dark Souls. Shocker. Plunges you into harsh dark fantasy world to test your will and your skills. That was all one sentence, by the way. Only those who dare to get into the Demon Skins can survive. Interesting.
It's a 2D game, it looks like.
Yeah, it does look like a 2.5D type of thing.
Some souls shenanigans. Yeah. Oh boy.
There's an enemy that looks like the Snow Yeti thing that nearly eats Luke.
Yes. It's a Star Wars game.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars honest. Game.
Let's be honest, yeah.
So that's out on PC on April 13th. On April 14th, we've got a game called Forgotten Fields, also coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
April 15th, Ashwalkers on PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got a game called Godstrike coming to PC and Switch.
Sure.
You see this Godstrike. Godstrike. That sounds like something the like Quake Arena guy would chat when you've got like 20 kills in a row. Whoa, this game is so colorful. Oh damn, it's like a bullet hole thing. Holy shit,
let me just pull this.
It's actually quite quickly. Pretty. I quite like it. It's got like, it reminds me of like Hades, but then also of Creature in the Well.
There we go.
Yeah, interesting.
Video
okay.
Isn't playing. Oh, it looks, you know what it reminds me of?
Fury,
yeah. Is that what you said? 100%. Yeah, face mighty bosses. This is Fury.
Yeah, it's a boss rush. Man, Fury, you know, I still haven't played Fury, but that soundtrack.
Oh,
shit.
That game is real good. And their next game, I think it's called Haven, is also out. And it's
did they make Haven?
They made Haven, yeah.
For some reason, I thought... Oh, they did make Haven. You know why I get confused is the developers of... Hyperlight Drifter are making a game. Also, they've gone from 2D to 3D, so I confused the two.
This game looks real good, can I just tell you, watching the trailer now.
Yeah, it looks looks like pretty great. Jam.
My goodness.
So that's out on PC and Switch on April 15th. So that's cool. Nice. Shadow Man Remastered. This is an old-ass game. I only know this because I wrote about this a while ago. And it looks
back in my
weird.
Day.
Yeah. So that's coming out if you have any fondness for Shadow Man.
Nice.
So that's on PC. And then the final game for the week, Saga Frontier Remastered for PC, PS4, Switch, iOS, and Android. Yo, no love for Xbox there.
Wow. So much hate.
That's it.
That's game releases.
That's game releases for the week. Should we get to gaming news?
What would you like to start with? What news we're starting with here?
Well, let's start with the stuff that kind of like broke yesterday. So
where is this?
Not Naughty Dog, but Sony news. So good old Jason Schreier had a big report on Bloomberg that was concerning kind of like the feeling of some studios underneath the Sony banner, more specifically a San Diego team called Visual Arts Service Group. which a lot of people have always assumed is like the secret San Diego team working on shit. Turns out they aren't. They kind of just help out studios as need be. Most recently, they helped out Naughty Dog with Last of Us 2. Mm-hmm. And the story centers mostly on them regarding how they wanted to do some, you know, solo work. They wanted to, you know, work on their own game, lead their own game. And that game in question was a remake of 2013's The Last of Us, which apparently they started development on in 2018. They then went on to help Naughty Dog with The Last of Us 2 and felt, well, the leadership there felt like they weren't getting the support from Sony that they really needed. And after they finished work on The Last of Us 2, the Last of Us remake was handed back to Naughty Dog and Visual Arts Service Group became a support studio again. And that really pissed off executives there, and a lot of people have promptly left the studio. Yeah. And the report ties this sort of sentiment into things that have been happening at Sony Bend, which you might remember as making Days Gone. Apparently in 2019, they pitched Days Gone 2, and Sony turned them down and said that they were to work on a new Uncharted, which they did for a few. Well, part of the team is helping Naughty Dog work on the Last of Us multiplayer thing that they are doing. And the other half were working on an Uncharted. And then executives at, or the leadership at Sony Bend were unhappy with working on a property that wasn't theirs. So they requested that Sony give back Uncharted to Naughty Dog. That apparently happened, although it's not clear if that Uncharted game is still being worked on. But now Sony Bend is working on another game of its own, which it's unclear what it is, but it's not Days Gone 2. So yeah,
which is, I mean, so there's a lot to talk about in this story specifically. I want to come out and say that I thought Days Gone was a pretty mediocre game, pretty average game, but I am still sad it's not getting a sequel, because I feel that they could have taken criticisms and made a better sequel. So I think like the world was, like, it didn't really hook me, but I think there were some good ideas there that I would have liked to have seen maybe fleshed out in a sequel. But I don't know, like, it's sad that they're not getting that opportunity.
I think the, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I didn't like Days Gone. I think, just like a lot of games, it could have benefited from a sequel, like building on the good ideas that the game had and cutting out the nonsense that it did. But at the same time, I'm not going to cry over
losing sleep over it.
I think the thing that blows me away is that Days Gone was a financial success. And the sentiment around it has kind of like become stronger over time. So for a financially successful new IP to just be dropped by Sony like that is the most concerning thing to me. It's like, it's very weird. Strange.
And I think, go for it.
No, go for it.
I think the weirdest thing from this whole story is that the first Last of Us is getting a remake.
Yeah, I'm super confused by that.
Which is just like, as much as I love Naughty Dog and The Last of Us, I'm like, 2013, look, we say this having just spoken at the top of this episode about Resident Evil 1 getting a remake only 6 years after. But I don't know, like in my head, it feels like technology hasn't come, you know, it hasn't, like back then it makes sense because, you know, we went from PS1 to GameCube, but it's like a leap in technology. Well, PS1 to PS2 in that generation, it feels like there were huge leaps, you know, in what could be done in gaming ways.
Mm-hmm.
The jump from, I mean, The Last of Us was a PS3 game.
A very PS3
game. Yeah, late gen PS3 game, remastered for PS4. And I'm like, I don't know how it stands to benefit from a remake so soon. But like, I don't know, like, is this, maybe they're banking on the fact that it's The Last of Us, it will sell regardless.
A financial standpoint, this is like a sound thing. I think it will sell. And I think that it being in development while the series is in development is no mistake.
Yeah, 100%. I was thinking the fact that the series will launch in a year or two, probably alongside this remake, makes a lot of sense. Because it's like there's a reason The Witcher 3 all of a sudden sold a shit ton more after the Netflix show aired, because people watched it having not played the game going, oh.
And why CD Projekt Red is maybe doing a next-gen upgrade for a game that came out in 2015.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So from a financial point of view, it makes sense. But I don't know. Like, I'm just desperate for Naughty Dog to make something different. Not because I don't like The Last of Us or Uncharted. Like, I think both are great franchises. But, like, I do worry that there's a reason Microsoft has this bad rap of, like, they don't make anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we do have, as good as Forza Horizon is, like, maybe that's the wrong example, but, like, we are just getting Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon.
Yeah,
like,
we're just getting more next, of that. You know? Yeah.
We got Gears 5. It's, like, it's a great franchise, but, you know, that studio hasn't really touched anything else. We're getting Halo 4 million.
Yeah.
Which, Halo, if you're a Halo fan, cool. But, like, Microsoft have those, like, three or four tentpole franchises, and it feels like they get a bad rap on exclusives because they haven't had the opportunity to make exclusive, like, new IP, sorry. And I don't know, like, Naughty Dog are definitely the poster child of Sony, and I just worry that, you know, do we need an Uncharted 5?
Yeah.
Like, I would play it, no doubt. But I'd just love to see them do something else.
It's just confusing to me because along with this report, there is the insinuation that leadership at Sony is doubling down on its, like, blockbuster studios and the IP that they've created. So, you know, that's why The Last of Us is being remade, you know what I mean? And I assume that means that Insomniac will be tied into Ratchet & Clank and Spider-Man. And Guerrilla will be tied into Horizon Zero Dawn. And again, all of these properties, great games. Like, Miles Morales came out, it was great. Last of Us 2 last year was fantastic. They aren't bad games, but it's sounding more and more like real shades of Microsoft in 2010, where they had Gears of War and Halo and Forza, and they felt like they could do no wrong because all the sequels to those games were fucking incredible. You know, you had Halo 3 and Gears 1 and 2 coming out, and then Forza Motorsport 2 completely redefining what sim racing was. Like, you know, if someone in 2010 said, well, Microsoft is kind of like not allowing creativity in its studios, you say, who cares? They have these great franchises. But then you look back at that now today and you go, well, that was the start of the problem. You know, they put all of their eggs into one basket, and, you know, Sony shut down Sony Japan, and it seems like they really aren't keen on letting their other lesser-known studios work on individual projects. They just want them to support these big blockbusters, and that's disappointing to me.
And it's also weird because, like, Sony have these little gems that maybe they don't do well financially. Like, I don't know, but if I think of games like Concrete Genie, which, like, I haven't played it, but for all intents and purposes, it reviewed well. People loved it. And that is a completely different IP.
Yeah.
Like, never been done before.
It doesn't need to sell 10 million copies because it didn't cost that much to make either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But imagine, like, a world where Returnal doesn't exist because that studio was just, you know, merged with Naughty Dog or Insomniac. It's like that. It just feels weird to take away these smaller experiments when, like, I don't know, they could lead to bigger and better things,
and a lot of Sony success in last generation came from new IP. Like,
100%.
you had Uncharted 4 and Last of Us 2, but you also had the people who made fucking Killzone do a robot dinosaur game with Horizon.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck? Like, and that's become a big franchise now. You know, you had Insomniac do Spider-Man, which you know, Spider-Man is an established IP, but the game they made was wholly original. So, like,
I don't know.
Sony not getting experimental or just doubling down on just sequels, maybe in the short term works, but I think Naughty Dog resources could be better spent on something that isn't a Last of Us remake. Put it that way.
I think any studio
could be doing something other than that. I don't think a Last of Us remake is bad. I just think there could be more interesting things being worked on.
Yeah. This to me just reeks of Sony just before the launch of the PS3, where they were like at the top of the game, like, yeah, our console's expensive, whatever, like it's complicated architecture. And although, in the long run, I think the PS3 did just fine. Mm. It didn't start out great. Like, those first few years were shoddy and, like, you know, filled with a lot of hurdles before the PS3 really hit its stride. And I just worry that the PS5, to me, like, very exciting new console. And it's like, well, are the first 3 years going to be bad? Well, not bad, but, like, okay, before Sony's like, oh, shit, we need to be experimenting with, you know, smaller IPs or different franchises. Like, I don't know. I just don't like it when it feels like they're on their high horse saying, like, we're Sony, we can do no wrong. It's like, I don't know. When Microsoft this generation are busy pushing Game Pass and, like, doing all the right things, it's like, you just have to be careful.
Yeah.
Like, I really think Microsoft are ticking all the right boxes. And I don't know, like, I've had a lot of friends of mine who are big Sony fans going, you know what, the Xbox is, like, kind of lucrative.
Mm. Yeah, because it's a different thing. Like, Microsoft isn't concerned about, I mean, they're still pushing their tentpole franchises, and there is no question in my mind all of their studio acquisitions were to create new IP. But, you know, at the same time, they bought all these studios and got them working immediately on new games, new properties. Mm. The Sony thing, it only takes one or two games that are really, you know, not up to the standard that people expect, because now people expect this massively high bar of, like, quality from Sony exclusives. And Sony is putting so much money into them, and this is the only thing they're pumping money into, presumably, according to this report. You know, if you have another situation like A Day's Gone, where it's profitable, you know, but maybe not to the level of a Last of Us 2, and it's definitely not seen critically in the same light. You know, if you have a God of War sequel or Horizon sequel that is, like, good but not fantastic, you've suddenly burnt years of, like, investment into these franchises that people have soured on, like, overnight. And that's exactly what happened to Microsoft, you know?
Yeah.
Halo 3 came out fucking phenomenal. Halo 4 and 5 completely derailed that franchise. And to the point where Infinite now has to hit. Like, it is such a big bet by Microsoft, you know?
I mean, on Infinite, think about the fact that they showed gameplay and people like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Like, people were critical of their gameplay. And Microsoft delayed it so hectically.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit. Yeah. We have to delay it by, like, a year now just to, you know, make sure we hit. So, the last thing I'll say on this thing is that some studios, I think, still get a free pass for now, because, like, God of War, great success. Like, I'd love to see a sequel. But, like, if we're getting to God of War 4 and 5 and 6, I'm like, I love Kratos, I love the franchise, but, like, I do want to see these studios try different things. Like, I think the reason God of War, I think the reason that hit so well is because, like,
it was a new game.
God of War, the original God of War was tired.
Yeah.
Like, we got a ton of them. We had 3 mainline games and some spin-offs and some mobile versions, and people just got sick of them. And it was clear, like, people were like, like, Kratos, this, that, whatever. The reboots hit so well because, you know, that studio took a break and, like, reinvented the wheel. Like, I don't know, are Naughty Dog going to reinvent the wheel with The Last of Us when it feels like it came out just yesterday?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if they're working on a Last of Us remake, you know, and now they're working on this Last of Us multiplayer as well, and, you know, we don't know, but this Uncharted project that Sony Ben decided to bounce off of, like, are they working on another Uncharted? Like, I know Naughty Dog said they don't want to do another Uncharted, but, like,
but if that's what makes them
Sony,
money, then
Sony
have
is
to.
The one that's in charge of them. So, I don't get it. On the
Naughty Dog thing, it's like, it would make more sense to me for them to remake the first Uncharted.
Yeah.
Because, like, that game came out a long time ago.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh, like, cool. Maybe it would be cool to relive, you know, Nathan Drake's first story on modern hardware with, like, a, you know, retelling of that story. But, like, I love The Last of Us, but it really feels like it didn't come out long enough ago.
to me, it's just bizarre that, you know, we didn't get a new Naughty Dog IP last gen. You know, we got one extremely late into the PS3 cycle with The Last of Us, but we didn't get one last gen. the first release from them this gen is likely to be a remake of The Last of Us. Like,
yeah, it's
like, come on, I don't know, man. Like, I love The Last of Us. Like, that game is still up there as one of my favorites of all time. But likewise, you can't tell me you would take that over something new from Naughty Dog. Like, and maybe that's not their decision. That's a Sony decision. And that's what this news is so frustrating. Like, why it's so frustrating. It's just like, you have these excellent teams who have made these phenomenal games, but you are stifling, you know, their creativity by forcing them to work on these remakes and consistent sequels. Like, I get that new IP is risky, but Sony is in the position in terms of, you know, fan trust and sales and all of that to take these risks. They are in a better position than Microsoft to take these risks. So,
yeah. Well, I'd love to see how Returnal scores.
Yeah.
Just to, like, as an indication of, like,
Returnal needs to hit, because I worry about Housemarque. Because, like, you know, Housemarque really, they moved away from arcade shooters because they're like, these aren't working for us, and that didn't work for them. And Returnal seems like a fucking Hail Mary by them. If that game does not hit, I super worry for that studio. So
yeah, they're gonna work on the next Uncharted.
Oh God.
Well, that's our Sony spiel. Should we fly through other news?
Yeah,
we spent a lot of time.
We're
very passionate about this.
I don't know. There were a lot of weird takes yesterday. To me, they're like, oh, but you know, Demon's Souls came out in 2009, and probably by the time The Last of Us remake comes out, it'll be the same age between the original and the remake. It's like, yeah, but that's not the point. Like, you couldn't play original Demon's Souls on PS4 or PS5. I can walk to my PS5 right now and play The Last of Us Remastered, which is a perfectly fine version of the game.
Mm.
You know? Like, they're very different scenarios there. Anyway.
Well, in other WTF news, E3 has confirmed its return.
E3 and is digital.
Much to my shock, a lot of the big players have signed up.
That is my that's my biggest shock there. It's like,
including including Capcom, Nintendo, Xbox, Take-Two, Ubisoft, Konami, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media.
Koch Media.
Like, Nintendo and Xbox and Capcom and Take-Two, like, all of these,
it's
you could
bizarre.
Do your own show. You really could.
I mean, to me, the big one that stands out is Xbox, because Xbox wasn't even at the last physical event. Like, I went in 2019 and Xbox wasn't in the LACC. They were in the Xbox Theater or Microsoft Theater across the road. And they had all of their games there. They had their showcase there. Yes, it was during the same week as E3, but they were literally not in the same building. So for them, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the ESA is a powerful lobbying group, because, like, they lobby for game makers in, you know, US law. So I guess there is a bit of give and take when it comes to supporting them. But I also could see the scenario where especially companies like Xbox and Ubisoft could be like, yeah, we'll show off shit, you know, at E3 Digital, but Our own streams are where the big announcements are going to take place. You know what I mean?
Fair.
And Nintendo will just put out a fucking direct. It doesn't even matter that it's E3 or not. They'll call it an E3
direct. I know. It's like, we're going to just do a direct over E3.
Yeah.
Which, look, it's weird, because while I'm critical of this choice, as a gamer, it gets me excited, because I'm like, there's a week of big announcements.
Yeah.
Which, that's cool.
E3 is still fun. Like,
But Sony are like, nah, fam.
Yeah, Sony's still like, nah, we're not doing that. I mean, they haven't been at E3 since 2017, I think. They weren't there 2018 or 2019. So, yeah, not shocked by that. But like you said, I'm glad that it's still happening. It's cool that it's still happening. And I think, you know, I don't know, maybe they really do think they can host a physical event next year. I'm dubious of that. I don't know. I think this year really needs to hit for E3. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe they just host a physical event next year, and because people have been so starved by conferences, like, it becomes a big thing.
I was also thinking that, like, it'll almost be the novelty of, like, well, we missed it for 2 years.
Yeah, that's also, like, I mean, that's entirely possible. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'm just glad that it's condensed in a week now, because last year was a shit show with, like, events every second day.
Jeff Jeff Keighley still has his own tricks up his sleeve. So don't worry.
Yeah, he's still doing Summer Game Fest. But I think even he said it's going to be far more condensed this year.
Yeah.
Because last year was a nightmare. It was just like every 2 weeks, there's like a new stream.
My God.
Yeah. So yeah, that's okay. Happening. What is it? 15th to 17th of June? Something like that?
Yes. Where's the date? I think it's like, or is it 12 to 15 June? I don't know.
Second week of June, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Pac-Man 99 came out this week.
This is a surprise.
Yeah, announced and launched the next day. So if you've played Tetris 99, kind of the same thing. You are playing normal Pac-Man against 99 other players. And the way they play is influencing your game. So it's like if when they eat ghosts, they can send slow ghosts to your board that slow you down if you go through them, or additional ghosts that attack you or stuff like that. So I've played a few rounds. It is ridiculously fast. Like you can die in a game within 10 seconds. Like it's
shit.
It is compared to Tetris 99. It is a whole other level of pace. Different. And it's made me reconsider if I was ever good at Pac-Man, which I probably never was. So yeah.
Well, okay. Can I just say that I appreciate this trend of turning old games into battle royales?
Yeah, me too. I think it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool novelty. And it's cool that it's just included free with Nintendo Switch Online. So that's rad.
Mm. Yeah, like Nintendo pushing out these. I mean, what we've got, Pac-Man. We've had Tetris. What is the other one? Mario.
Yeah, but that's gone.
Just the idea that they're experimenting with these different franchises, I think that's really cool.
Mm.
Like they're always, it's like this whole 99 thing is a franchise in itself now, and there's just different ways to put spins on it.
I really like Tetris 99. Like I still play it every now and then. Still have never won a game.
Garbage at it.
I've come close. I think it was actually, I was playing it when we were in Portugal for your wedding, and I came like third, and that's still my best.
You're like, yes.
It was that Portuguese air. It made me a Tetris god.
It's on fire. I suppose let's just stick with retro quickly. A mint condition Super Mario Bros. NES cartridge.
Damn.
Sold for a casual $660,000.
That's a lot of fucking money. My God.
Imagine, I don't know, just imagine you were one of those people where you visit your parents in one of those old school American houses, you dig in the basement, you're like, oh, here's a box of my old stuff. And there's just although this is a mint condition.
Yeah,
box,
this is so, like, I mean, mint.
Purposely kept, but still.
Seems like it was even kept in like a vacuum sealed box. It's fucking
like
crazy.
Someone had the foresight to be like, you know what, Super Mario Bros. Is going to be a big deal. I'm just going to vacuum pack this thing.
Yeah.
Sold it for a lot of money. I mean,
this one was also like from a limited production run, it seems. So back before Nintendo added the trademark GamePack NES GP symbol to NES boxes. So it's a special box as well. Like, damn. That's a lot of money.
I love the line that Darren, I think who wrote this, was it Darren? It can only be Darren who wrote this. So like the thing was sold for $660,000 at an auction. He says, what an absolute idiot. You can buy the game for like $5 on the Nintendo eShop.
Well, can you? Nintendo loves killing Mario games on its eShop, so who knows?
Who knows? Okay. What do you want to bounce to next?
Deathloop has been delayed again.
Boo.
If you'll recall, it was meant to come out in February. It was pushed back to May. It was meant to come out in like a couple of weeks. But developers Arkane, I think this is Arkane Lyon in France, said they need more time with the game. So the game is now launching on September 14th. Obviously, it's only coming to PS5 and PC at launch.
So I think you tweeted saying, what does this mean for the exclusivity?
Yeah, I'm curious. Like,
is it from date of launch? It's like a year from today, or like, no. You had the exclusivity from May or whatever.
I would love to know what the deal was. Like you said, does the deal start when the game actually launches, or was there a, you know, penciled in date? You know, like on the contract saying, yeah, from May, that's when the exclusivity thing is working.
I don't know. Don't know. What else do we have here? Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming back to Game Pass, which is...
Yeah, that's weird. I can't recall a game that left Game Pass and then came back. So I don't know if this is the first one, but...
Yeah. Look, I could be wrong, but I think some smaller games do go in and out, maybe like over the years that Game Pass has been around. But I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 is like a big, not just any game. It's a game that just continues to be, to print money for Rockstar coming back to Game Pass. And it's interesting because like, I think people obviously play the single player game, but I think most people find enjoyment in the online component where you can spend actual money. Just give Rockstar more of your money. But like you mentioned earlier, like this is probably 100% Microsoft being like, hey, we'll pay you to have
get it back on
GTA 5 just, back on. Yeah. Get it back on just for like another few months, you know. And I do wonder, like, will this go off again and then will we have Red Dead Redemption 2 make a reappearance? Because that also was on at a time. For a little while.
Yeah, it feels like Rockstar can only have one game on there at a time. They're just like,
yeah,
nah, you had Red Dead Redemption 2? Nah, you got to take that off. You've got to put on GTA, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. But that's cool. If you've never played it, I think it works really well on new consoles as well. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 2-generation-old game.
Yeah, and it's being re-released for PS5 and Xbox.
Which is just crazy. I think just quick fire news. The Resident Evil Reverse open beta was shut down after being live for just 7 hours.
Oh.
I think this game looks silly, but I still want to kind of give it a try. I mean, if you're getting Resident Evil Village, it comes bundled with.
I really fucking hate the visual style of it. Like, it really bugs me.
It's like cel-shaded cartoony.
It looks awful.
I don't know.
I don't like it at all. Like, I think it looks gross. I mean, I'm looking at this nemesis on the frontier and gross. No. I don't like it at
all. He's super shiny and stuff.
No. And you see that that amphibian goober thing. I mean, just look at the screenshot there. You've got Jill Valentine aiming a gun at Leon Kennedy with Jack Baker behind with who the fuck knows what he's holding. And then just this amphibian zombie thing on the side just chilling. Like, what's going on here?
I mean, I'd play that. and then... What else do we have here? Crysis Remastered has been double remastered for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S.
Yeah, it got an additional patch with additional graphical options.
Stuff.
Digital Foundry found that there's still like huge performance issues with this game, even with the new graphical options. So yeah, go check out their coverage.
Crysis still it's still putting hardware through its paces, even all these many decades later.
All these years ago. All these years.
I suppose let's just end on this.
Oh, so the
headline of this, I'm shocked to report that Resident Evil Village's tall Lady Dimitrescu, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Dimitrescu.
Really big feet.
Oh yeah, reading this, yeah.
So, yeah.
She has feet that measure 44 centimeters.
Okay.
Cool. Put her shoes in the collector's edition. Do it.
Oh my
God. Fucking cowards.
And that's, I think, where we'll leave news this week. You know, just ponder that.
Just think of a 44 centimeter foot.
Think of those big feet. Remember being in school, one of those rulers was 30 centimeters.
I know. That's immediately what I go to when I think of centimeters. Like, how many rulers is that?
Oh my God. And that's it. That's news.
That means we're going to bounce to questions. If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. It's still that email address. It will never change, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Who knows?
Never.
You can also message us at checkpointchat on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok even, and on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. On all of the places. I think we have
what do we got?
One or two of Twitter. So actually we've got a couple of Twitters. Hang on.
A couple of tweets, I might say.
We have some from Megs who says, with the PSP Vita PS3 storefronts closing down, would people be more cautious of digital game purchases from Sony?
I don't think you have a choice, to be honest. I mean, we were talking about Outriders earlier today. Doesn't matter if you got that thing physical, it connects to a fucking server, so...
Yeah.
Does it matter that you have a digital or physical? Doesn't really. And sadly, that is the case with a lot of games today.
I mean, if you think of games like God of War or... So I don't know what's up with my camera here. If you think of games like God of War or Spider-Man, like you don't need online for that. So I suppose the physical... Look, it did cross my mind. Well, not for PS5, but my immediate thought was like, I have a Vita.
Mm-hmm.
What games do I really want on the Vita? And I was like, nah. Like, I've got it. I'm glad I have it. But nothing makes me think, oh my God, I need to backlog this game.
It's been a week and a bit for Sony, because like the whole shutting down PS3, PSP and Vita stores is a fucking, like, it sucks. It really, yeah. Really fucking sucks. I don't know. I think, you know, going physical, if you're really concerned about it, will definitely help in that regard.
Mm.
But I think eventually it won't make a difference because of the way games are moving to just require online components anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, if you can, if it doesn't bug you buying physical, I think that's the safest bet now. Especially for, like you said, a lot of the single player games that we are still getting, if this is Sony's approach to maintaining its game libraries in the future.
Good Lord.
Good Lord indeed. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was very confused because this isn't a question so much as an interaction on Twitter.
Okay.
Where Cathal replied to Mick saying, apply... although we've seen it in Nintendo and PC titles too, as soon as licensing or hosting becomes an issue, titles get pulled.
That's also true. Yeah. I mean, that's not so much a concern with especially exclusives, because a lot of that is original. But I mean, how many times have we read articles about GTA going off Steam for a bit because like some license for some music on the radio lapsed and they need to remove it from the game before they can sell it again. So that's a whole other thing. I mean, if you have a physical version, they can't stop you from playing that game. So, yeah. I mean, it just never updates. Yeah. So
no.
The police replied, come and yes, knock indeed. Down your door.
FBI.
Yeah.
Mick says, the Bond games come to mind, specifically Bloodstone. Can't buy it on PC. Most probably will play it on 360. And then Cathal replied once more, saying, off the top of my head, Deadpool and Saw are gone too. Some Lego games were also removed a while back. Alan Wake was pulled and relisted after music was removed as well.
Mm-hmm. I remember the Deadpool one is a huge problem. Because I think Disney wanted Fox wanted the rights back for whatever reason. So Activision had to like literally remove that game from sale. I don't think you can buy it at all anymore.
And then last question from Migs, who asks, are there any things you do in public that you find hard to control that possibly annoy people? So he gave an example that his sister calls him Foghorn Leghorn because he sneezes very loud. And I can say that.
That's funny.
I also sneeze very loudly. And I mean, you can't control it. So
I mean,
what you're going to do?
You sneeze loudly. That's just the way you are.
I will say it often stands out, like if I remember being in like school in a quiet exam venue.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Or like at a wedding like a speech, you're that person who's like...
Everyone has a little 5-second laugh and you just like...
I'm very loud when I sneeze, but I can't think of anything else that I do.
Did you ever, as a kid, like you held your sneezes and people like, you're going to lose brain cells that way?
No, but I can see.
Holding a sneeze is like terrible. I hate it, but sometimes it's just needed, man.
Sometimes you need to, yeah. And
then it's more concerning to the people around you because you suddenly like violently lurch forward, but nothing happened. And they're like, what the hell? Are you okay?
Are you having a fit? Yeah. What's going on here? I think what's worse than a sneeze, because like a sneeze is just something, especially in a post-COVID world, have you ever been in the same setting where you have a cough that just doesn't go away? Like your throat is itchy and you're like,
yeah.
And you're like, and it, you try so hard to keep it in.
Instead of doing the full cough and maybe clearing your throat, you keep doing the like halfway coughs and that never goes away.
And can't do that today. People are going to say you've got the coronies.
Everyone looks at you like, whoa. Whoa, you okay? Whoa.
Spray this man down with sanitizer.
I don't think... Oh, I do have this habit, which I don't know if I'll ever stop it, but when I drink like drinks, like water,
H2O.
I don't know if this is a common thing, but I don't let the water like just go into my mouth and down my throat. I like suck on the side of the cup. So sometimes if I'm not tilting the cup correctly, there will be nothing there and I'll make like this like slurping noise. And my dad always gives me shit for it because he's like, oh, I thought you'd just grow out of that, but I still do it. And that's just how my body drinks. I don't know why I do it, but that's how I do it.
That's like disappointed dad. Like, I really thought you'd grow out of this bad habit.
I mean, if I'm conscious of the way I'm drinking, I will like not suck on the side of whatever the fuck, but I often do it and I don't know why.
I don't think I do that.
Yeah, like I genuinely think it's like something wrong with the way I drink drinks because I'm basically like sucking the liquid through my teeth into my...
This is not an insult to you, but I used to do that as a kid. I used to go...
Yeah.
You know?
So that's how I drink drinks still today.
Your dad's right. You're a child. When will you grow? When you turn 30, that's when you have to stop.
It's when I'm legally an adult. If I do that, I go to jail. Like,
damn it. I can't do that. Shani will put you in jail. Just call the police. Hello, my boyfriend.
My boyfriend's he's slurping up here.
It's this man drinking like it's drinking out of a sippy cup.
Give me a sippy cup. I'll drink out of a sippy cup, no problem.
My God. But yeah, I don't see any other questions anywhere else. So I guess that is questions for the week. Nothing on Instagram, nothing on Facebook, nothing on email.
Cool. Well, if you want to change that, you know. The power is in your hands. You can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us messages any time of the week at Checkpoint Chat on Twitter, on Facebook, TikTok. What did I miss? Instagram, that's the one.
All of the places, basically.
All of the places that have social aspects to them.
I'm just double checking now. There's nothing on. Not a single question on Facebook was given that day.
It's fine. I haven't been on Facebook in ages either. I get it.
Facebook.
Facebook, yes.
Yeah.
But that's been episode 140. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting. And we will be back, as always, next week. Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Bye.